Hello and welcome to Why Such a Fuss podcast. Just to recap, the aim of this podcast is to generate awareness amongst business owners and individuals on all things data protection related, wider disciplines, and business issues. Today, we're joined by Annie McNeely once again. Hi, Annie. Thank you for coming.
Thanks very much for having me.
And Annie is an ISO 9001 practitioner. So today we're going to be talking about continuous improvement. Annie, what is continuous improvement? I suppose we should cover that first, shouldn't we?
Yeah, sure. So the continuous element of continuous improvement indicates that it's not a static activity. So when we talk about continuous improvements, it's really what we're looking for, at least from an ISO perspective, is a mindset or a culture within a business, which means that you're always on the lookout for how things can be done better. And by keeping that alive, you're always ahead of the game. You're always exceeding customer expectations. You're preventing anything that went wrong from going wrong again, and finding better ways to do it. And it's a constant cycle of improvement rather than a sort of a one-off once a year activity or a static thing. It's the bedrock of quality management, really. And when you look at the standard, it has its own clause. Continuous improvement is its own clause because they place so much importance on it. And in an audit, it's one of the key things that an auditor is going to be looking for, is that active continuous improvement.
And so why is it such a key element on all of the ISO standards? Because it kind of comes up in every single standard. It's not just for the quality one, the 9001 standard. Why
Yeah.
is that, in your opinion?
Well, it's still, in a way, it's still related to quality, but it's the quality of each activity that's covered by an individual standard. So if we talk about continuous improvement in the context of information security, for example, again, they don't want that system or that the actions that you carry out to do with information security to be static. They want you to be always looking for improvements in the quality of your information security, if that makes sense. So the continuous improvement requirement prevents things from stagnating, and it kind of prevents you from taking your eye off the ball such that things start going wrong or things don't get picked up and dealt with. And it helps to keep you ahead, like I say, it keeps you ahead of the game, certainly in terms of customers, but also in terms of compliance and security and other things. So the continuous bit is the key thing. It's that constant cycle. So you never let things slide, basically.
Yeah, so interestingly, I came across continuous improvement via actual the ITO methodology. So despite the fact that at the time I was working for a corporate that was quite heavily into the ISO standards, and not just the, obviously the quality was the first one that they did, but they had all of the others, in relation to the industry. So they were quite all of the standards were embedded into our processes, but for some reason it did not hit me until I came across the ITO methodology. So for our audience who might not be aware of what the ITO methodology is basically a fully recognized and tested methodology that was created initially for IT managed service in particular. So, in fact, ITO stands for Information Technology Information Library, and it provides basically a framework and a series of processes to support that framework. So, imagine an onion where the inner core, in ITO terms, is the service strategy. So, you start with that. This is where the organization establishes its strategies. Obviously, in the context of ITO, we're talking about an IT strategy. But actually, that can apply to any industry and to any business. The next layer is service design. So now that you have established the strategy of a new service or a new product, now you need to design it. Then you have the service transition. So that's the next layer. So the design then needs to be tested, perhaps even piloted before the full implementation. Once that is done, then you have the service operation. So this is where the products or service is then handed over to operation, and then it becomes a business as usual. And then the final layer is continuous improvement. So this is where then you measure your productivity, your customer satisfactions, the sales of your products or services, which one sells more, which one sells less, or to which businesses, you know, clients, different industry, the efficiency of your products or services, the speed, if a speed is related to it, whether it's user-friendly, and many other KPIs that obviously vary from business to business, to industry to industry, which then lead to back to the service strategy. So it's like a cycle that starts again, because you've got to continuously, like you say, not being static, so you've got to continually improve. And interestingly enough, we also see this cycle again in other disciplines like Lean Six Sigma, which is all about process improvement, where they have the DMAKE. So DMAKE, it's a very typical Lean Six Sigma acronym, which stands for design, measure, analyze, improve, and control.
Yeah.
So there you go. You have your measure, you have your improvement. We also have another method called the PDCA, which is plan, do, check, and act. Which again, it's another and management method used in business for the control and continual improvement of processes and products or services. So you come across all of these over and over again in other disciplines. And obviously, we do have continuous improvement in GDPR as well. And it features quite heavily in the regulation. And so it's about ensuring that the organization is continually applying the most robust security measures, not just technical. It also improves the efficiency, for example, of how they deal with subject access requests, how they reduce data breaches. So by reducing your data breaches, it means that your staff awareness of GDPR has increased. So you're continuing improving their awareness as well as your security measure, how they make their processes more robust in terms of being less reliant on personal data. So finding other ways, carrying out due diligence on third parties before onboarding them, and how over time those due diligence are then obviously, you know, continuously improved. They become more and more robust. The same applies to DPIA, so data protection impact assessment. And so basically, by applying continuous improvement in any part of the organization, any process, in any methodology or discipline or framework that the organization uses, will then drive a high performing culture.
And absolutely.
Then be part of the organization. So that should be part of the organization strategy.
Yeah, improvement can never be a bad thing. It is inherently a good thing for any business, regardless of how you approach it. The problem is, from an ISO perspective, often is that either the improvement culture isn't being driven, and that's often because the ISO system is seen, and I've alluded to this before, is seen as a sort of a peripheral thing rather than a tool for running the business. And if that's the case, then improvement doesn't, you don't see those improvements kicking in. Or sometimes what happens is people see improvements only as an effect of finding non-conformities. And when that's the case, basically something has gone wrong, and then they put corrective measures in place to prevent it from happening again, which is important, of course, but that's a somewhat passive, reactive approach to improvement. You must do that if you have a non-conformity. You need to carry out those corrective actions, do your root cause analysis, and put corrective actions in place. But ideally, it'd be more proactive than that, so you're not waiting for something to go wrong before you implement an improvement.
Absolutely. And this is why the measure, it's important. So you need to constantly measure your performance, you know, the performance of your processes, the performance of your services, your products, etc., because you must look for opportunities for continuous improvement. And this is how you become proactive rather than reactive. And this is how you will drive high performing culture within the organization, which also leads to growth, business growth as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. having those tangible markers in place, whatever form they may take, is important, because you've got something visible to aim for, and it becomes a more tangible effect within the business when you've got those markers in place. And again, if all you're doing is responding to nonconformities, typically a company will measure the number of nonconformities, but they're not measuring the improvement outcomes. They're just focused on how many nonconformities they get. And that's only part of the picture. And I think it's a really valuable exercise to measure improvements. It's not always easy, because it depends on the nature of the improvement. But measuring improvements in and of themselves is a much more kind of positive and dynamic measure, especially when that's communicated to the rest of the business and they can see that happening and they've had input into it. Then you start to develop that sort of improvement-driven culture more effectively.
Yes. Annie, thank you very much for joining us again today. If any of our audience would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So I'm easy to find on LinkedIn under Annie McNeely. There aren't many of us around. Or you can Google my name and you will come up with my website, which is AMC ISO Services. And my web address is www.anniemcneely.co.uk.
Thank you. And if you would like to know more about GDPR and how it applies to your business, you can reach us at info@cvgsolutions.co.uk. Alternatively, on social media, we are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for CVG Solutions, and also through our website, which is cvgsolutions.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode.